name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we celebrate the Dormition of the Most Holy Mother of God. And this means her death and her eventual ascension into heaven at the hand of her Savior and her Son. And this reading for her is the same as for most of her feast days, the one from Luke, which actually is a composite reading, and it's not, in some ways, not about her, because the Mary in this story is not Mary the Theotokos, but is Mary the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. But the Church juxtaposes two portions of Scripture that are close to one another to show what is most important about the Mother of God. She chose that good part. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the Dormition, in case you don't know about it. The Mother of God was at the cross of our Lord and Savior, as was Apostle John, just before he breathed his last, before our Lord breathed his last. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother." And then he died very soon thereafter. And that was a key to St. John, the theologian, to bring the Theotokos into his home. So he had a home in Zion, and she lived most of the remaining time of her life in that home, in Zion, in Jerusalem. She did make some trips. She visited St. Lazarus, the one, the 4 days dead in Cyprus. She also went to Mount Athos and blessed it as a habitation for monasticism. She also went to Ephesus when there was a great persecution in Jerusalem and stayed with St. John there. And the Theotokos spent the remaining time of her life quietly in prayer. She would go to the various places where she remembered things about her Lord and her Son, such as Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, etc. And she would often go to the Mount of Olives and pray to the Lord in that spot of his ascension that he would take her from this life. And she lived, it's not really known how long. Some people think she lived to be about 60. But at some point, an archangel appeared to her and told her that she would die in 3 days. And so she was very happy and joyful. And her ardent wish was that all the apostles would be with her before she reposed. And this wish was hers because she was a great mentor and a mother to the apostles. Much of what we know in the Church, the mind of the Church, the really important stuff that's not really written down, is from the Theotokos. Because the Theotokos, of course, raised the Lord Jesus Christ and learned from Him and bore Him. So she changed in ways that most human beings are not able to change. And so she taught the apostles many things. We have nothing that is written by her, but her influence upon the Church is dramatic. And so she wanted to know that all the apostles would be with her. So they all came by the providence of God, and they were spread out all over the place. Egypt and Rome and Ephesus and India, many, many places. And all of them came and were with her at the before her death, except for Thomas. Thomas, the one who was late on the day of the resurrection, was also late to see the Theotokos, and he grieved that he could not see her. He arrived on the third day after her death, and she had already been put in the tomb. So the apostles opened the tomb so that he could embrace her. This already would be an indication that the apostles felt that she was blessed and incorrupt, because you wouldn't want to embrace a three-day-old body. It would already be festering and be corrupt. But they opened the tomb, and she was not there. And then that evening, she appeared to the apostles and told them that she was in heaven and would never abandon them and always be with them. And so we understand that the Theotokos died, because she's a human being. Human beings die. But after her death, the Lord did not allow her body to become incorrupt and raised her from the dead bodily and brought her body and soul to heaven. And this is her Domitian. Domitian actually means falling asleep. But of course, what we are celebrating is also her ascension into heaven with our Savior. And this reading from Luke is a quintessential example of how we should be. So, like I said, it's a composition reading. And it begins with Jesus entering into a village where Martha and Mary and Lazarus were living. It was a Bethany. And so they were having dinner, which was very much a custom of Jesus. He went there all the time. And they were dear friends of his. And so Martha is serving and going about and getting all the dishes and making sure everything's taken care of, the water is boiled and all the other things. And Martha and Mary is only sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words. So Martha is upset about this. And she goes to the Lord and says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her that she would come and help me." And the Lord says this very important thing. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." Now, immediately after these words are finished, the Gospel sort of segues to another portion, which is unrelated to this visit, in which a woman in the crowd said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast suckered." And then he replies, "Yea," and actually the English translation is poor here, "yea rather," but actually a form, a figure of speech. What it really means is, yes, what you're saying is true, but this is even more true. So he's agreeing with the woman of the company, but also saying, but this is even more true. "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." This is what we venerate the Theotokos for hearing the word of God and keeping it. Keeping it as perfectly as a human being can keep the word of God. And this is why we honor her. This is why we pray to her and ask her intercession before the throne of her Savior and her Son. Because she heard the word of God and kept it. She believed in the one thing needful. Now, one must know what that one thing needful is for this reading to have any meaning whatsoever. I have found as a pastor that there are many opinions about what is important in life. What is important in life? That is a question that you have to ask to answer. That's basically answering this question, what is the one thing needful? Many people will answer that what is important in life is to be a good father, to raise your children well, to be a good husband, to be honest in business, to do something meaningful in life, to do the most with the abilities that you've been given. I get a lot of answers like that. None of those things are the one thing needful. The one thing needful is to hear the word of God and to keep it. And the reason why it is that one thing needful is because the purpose of our life is to be with God eternally and to know Him intimately. And you cannot know Him unless you become like Him. So how can we become like Him unless we follow His commandments? Unless we hear His word and we keep it. So the one thing needful is to prepare yourself right now for eternity. Because you're already entering into eternity. Because every day you're dying a little bit more and getting closer to the eternal time. When there is no time. And when the only thing that is significant about you is the person you have become. Nothing else will matter. whether or not you have been a good businessman or had a good marriage, all those things are unimportant. It matters who you are. There's good people that have bad marriages, and bad people that have good marriages. That's not important. What is important is that you have become like Jesus Christ. And the Theotokos, the Most Holy Mother of God, is the best example of becoming like Christ. She was quiet, humble, but authoritative. And she prayed. She spent all of her days praying. So we have to look at ourselves, brothers and sisters. It's nice to know the story about the Dormition. That's important. That's a big part of our history. But if you don't understand the person about whom the story is about, then you don't understand the story at all. Because the Mother of God, as this reading tells us, chose the better part. And she chose that one thing needful, to hear the Word of God and to keep it. So let's evaluate ourselves. We live in an age now that is full of just unbelievable distractions. It's very hard to focus on God. Let's be honest with ourselves. How often do we pray? How much do we pray? How much fervor do we have when we pray? How much do we read the Scriptures? But let's get to the important parts. If you read the Scriptures, you must do what's in the Scriptures. How much do you forgive your brother? How much do you forgive that person who has slandered you or hurt you? How much do you pray for your enemies? How much do you look each day about eternity? Sort of like putting your hand to the plow and looking forward, not looking back. The one thing needful encompasses a lot of things. It's not just to sit at Jesus' feet. It is to sit at His feet, hear His teachings, and then do them. And there's a lot of things we must do. Prayer, and sacrifice, humility. The epistle gives us an idea to have this mind be in us, as St. Paul says, which was also in Christ Jesus. So to follow the example of Jesus. And St. Paul goes on in incredibly poetic and beautiful language to speak about who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. This is speaking of the eternal God, Jesus Christ, becoming man and humbling himself and teaching most of the people of whom he taught rejected his teaching. And many of them crucified him. To have this kind of mind, this is part of having the one thing needful. And the Theotokos gives us this example. Take stock of yourselves. How much do you care about your salvation? Just look at how you spend your time. Look at what you do. Look at what you read. Look at what you look at. Look at what you value, what you spend your money on, the way you spend your time. And if you find that you're praying only a scant couple minutes a day, then are you pursuing the one thing needful? You have to answer that question. If you find that your Bible is not only dusty, but you're not even sure where it is in the house, then are you pursuing the one thing needful? The Theotokos prayed every moment of her life. She was fortunate, of course, to be taken care of by the Apostle John. Any one of us would have done the same. So she did not have to work for her bread after the Lord was raised. And she was able to spend all of her time praying, going to various holy places in Jerusalem and praying. Now we have to work for our bread. And we have many complex tasks to do, so we can't just spend our time going to holy places and praying. I'm not sure if a holy place exists in Texas, but if there is, then we could go and pray there. But we can focus on the one thing needful. So I implore you, just take stock of your life. You know how much you pray. You know if you fast. You know if you read the scriptures. You know if there's someone that you don't forgive or a person you don't like and you don't want to be around. You know. If you cuss, you know if you're jealous, you know all that stuff. So let us concentrate on the one thing. Just one thing. It encompasses doing many things, but really all it is this. Hear the word of God and keep it. May God help you in all things. Amen.